Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am very excited about this week's show because I have an extra special guest interview with a really great friend of mine, Mr. Bob Berg, who, among other things, is the co-author of one of my favorite books, The Go-Giver. Let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Bob Berg. Bob shares information on topics vital to the success of today's business person. He speaks for corporations and associations internationally, including Fortune 500 companies and numerous direct sales organizations. Bob regularly addresses audiences ranging in size from 50 to 16,000, sharing the platform with such notables, including today's top thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, and political leaders, including a former United States president. Although for years, Bob was best known for his book, Endless Referrals, which I've also read, and it's an awesome book. Over the past years, it's really been his business parable, The Go-Giver, which Bob co-authored with John David Mann, that has captured the imagination of his readers worldwide. It shot to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal's business bestsellers list just 3 weeks after it was released, and it also reached number 9 on Business Week. It has been translated into 21 different languages, and it's his fourth book to sell over 200,000 copies. Bob is an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. And he's a founding member of Club 100, a charitable organization focusing on helping underprivileged local area youth. And really big time important, Bob is a lover of animals. All right, so we are ready to go. Let's get right to my special interview with Mr. Bob Berg.
Hey, Bob, welcome to the call. Thank you so much for being my special guest expert this month.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and you so totally walk the talk on everything you write about. I'm anxious to read your new book, or I guess by the time this comes out, it will probably already be in the ethers.
I will, whatever that is, I'm looking forward to it. Yep, and I will. You're on my list to send a copy. I did it with our good buddy, Martin Howie also, just faced some amazing challenges. And what we ended up doing is interviewing 9 other people. We were going to kind of limit to 4 or 5, but we interviewed people for half an hour on a significant challenge they face in their life or their business. The level of sharing was unbelievable. Martin and I almost couldn't do some of the interviews, some of the things people were going through. Mm. And it just turned out to be quite a validation of what we believe is going to be a good subject matter. You know, people are looking for hope and inspiration, and sometimes it's helpful to know that other people are facing challenges, and sometimes it's helpful to know that your challenge isn't quite as big as somebody else's.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Really excited about the book and appreciate your support with that. So, Bob, the name of your new book, It's Not About You, brings up a very interesting question, and that is, if it's not about you, who is it about?
Well, that is a good question. And really, Jim, it's what you talk about in your books. It's about everyone whose lives you choose to touch to benefit and add value to, whether they're customers in a bike shop or whether they're, you know, family members, friends, employees, employer, your team members, committee members, whatever. So really, that's what it is. It's shifting that focus. Now, saying it's not about you should never be confused with being a doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way. It's none of that. But focusing on others, focusing on providing value to them. focusing on building. It's simply a good way. It's a really effective way to build others. And when you do, as you know, you ultimately it helps you accomplish your own goals. The key, I think, is that it needs to be done with a genuine caring about others, never manipulative or with impure motives.
You know, Bob, when I saw the title, of course, I got the book immediately. Get Everything You Do, but you know, I got to tell you, my first twinge, just from a marketing perspective, was the title. And I mean, now that I know the book, I mean, it's a great title. But just to be honest with you, I thought, is this some kind of new agey, touchy feely stuff or baloney? You know. We're talking to people who run organizations and businesses, and you know, we have to sell products, we have to sell our services. So if you're not concerned, you know, how do you do that if you're not concerned about yourself? I mean, we do have to look inwards, don't we?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great point, Jim. And I don't think the issue is whether we're concerned about ourselves or interested in ourselves and our success, because you know what? We are. We should be. We're human beings. So by our very nature, we are indeed self-interested, and thank goodness we are. That self-interest, or rational self-interest, it's what allows us to survive, to grow, to expand, to thrive. So the issue isn't interest, it's focus. You see, if you really, really want to grow an organization, focus on providing value to those in your organization. If you want to make a sale, focus on providing value to them first. You know, John David Mann, my excellent co-author in the entire Go Giver series, in one of our books, Go Giver Sell More, we make the point that money is an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, which simply means the value comes first. And then the value is followed by the money, but the value must come first. So when you are in a situation, let's say, where you are in the sales process, just as an example, when they can tell, when it's communicated effectively that your interest is on them, not on yourself, not on making money, but doesn't mean you're not making money, it's just not where the focus is on. Your focus is on providing value to them as they would see and understand that value to be. When that's the case, they're going to feel good about you. They're going to know you, like you, trust you. They're going to respect you and your judgment. And the chances are, assuming the product does fit them, which let's assume it does, they're going to exchange their money for that value you're providing. And that's how it should be, and you should make a very, very healthy profit. On the other hand, when they can tell, or if they can tell, that your focus is on yourself, that your focus is on the money, that you're looking at them as a paycheck, that you can substitute a dollar sign for their head, okay? When they can tell that, and you know, they always can, whether consciously or unconsciously, at that point, they're not going to feel that way. They're not going to feel good about you. They're not going to like you, trust you. They're not going to respect you. And they're most likely not going to want to do business with you. So, you know, again, the key is not concern, in yourself. It, totally, we should be concerned about ourselves. It's where we focus the energy.
You know, I love that money is an echo of value. And, you know, something else, Bob, you know, when you start out in business, I celebrated just this past October 10 years in business, and I can remember, you know, I've always been a student, I've always read a huge amount of books, gone to seminars and things, and you hear people say things like, if you just focus on the customer, you know, the sale will take care of itself. And I get that, but I remember also being a very, very much a newbie in business, and I'm thinking, yeah, but I got to make the sale. You know, you got to get from point A to point B. I don't know exactly when it was in my career history in my business, but somewhere I did. I guess you start getting enough sales where it's not, you know, hand to mouth and hour to hour, Friday to Friday. But at some point, you do make a shift. You make a mental shift, and you just keep focusing. How can I now deliver more and more value? And when that thought process happens, at least it did for me, you really start seeing significant growth. So, you know, have you found that talking to other people and coaching people, this kind of a life cycle of business, people get it, but you also, when you're starting out or when you're in a difficult economy like we're in now, you really have to focus even more on kind of closing sales.
I think here is what it comes down to, that when we just start out and or when we really need the money, when the, you know, the market's bad or what have you, we see a dichotomy between focusing on providing value to the other person and closing the sale. What we come to realize is that not only is there not a dichotomy in that, but the two go together. And here's how I describe it. You know, let's say you're the customer and we're talking, you know, we just talked, we gave an example focusing on the money or focusing on providing value. Let's say you're the customer and somebody is selling to you. Somebody is in the selling process of selling you a widget, whatever it may be. You may or may not want it. You may want it, but there's concern that the value isn't as high as the money you're being asked to pay, whatever. You're the prospect. And the salesperson, you can just tell that their focus is on making a sale. They seem like they need the money. You know, they yep. certainly seem like they're more interested in the money. It's about them, okay? And it's about making the sale. How confident do you really feel doing business with that person? Now you may still buy, but you're probably buying in spite of that person, not because of that person and their salesmanship. On the other hand, when you can tell that this, when you're the, again, you're the prospect, and you can tell that this person absolutely is looking at this in terms of how they can serve your wants, your needs, your desires, the chances are much better that you, as the prospect, are going to feel good about this person and have a lot more confidence in them. So I think what happens is at the beginning, we see that dichotomy between being focused on value on that other person and making the sale. But hopefully, we stick with it long enough to understand that's the way to make the sale by focusing on that other person. And then, as we get a little bit older, wiser, as we make a little bit more money, what have you, we start to see, oh yeah, that's right, it really works.
Yeah, that's why I love talking to you. We get along so well. We always, I think we're pretty much on the same page. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk an awful lot in your book about influence, Bob. So, what is it? How do you see influence in this discussion?
Well, you know, Jim, on a very, very basic level, influence is simply the ability to move a person or a group of persons to a desired action. Okay, but that really brings us to look into it a little bit deeper and ask, as Aunt Elle, the main mentor, did in the story, and she asked Ben, but what is it really? You know, what is it made of? What is the substance of influence? And he didn't really know. And so she answered, because she would ask and answer her own questions. And the answer is, the substance of influence is pull. It's gentle pull. Pull being the opposite, of course, of push, which is why you don't hear people say, wow, that person's so influential. You know, he has a lot of push. It's no, this person's really influential. She has a lot of pull. And this pull is also a type of real, genuine power. Power being the opposite of force. Force is control. It's manipulation. It's intimidation. It's compliance. It's often a function of positional leadership rather than true influence-based leadership. And let's face it, Jim, you know, even a positional leader still can cause those in their employ or their team or organization to take action, but that's compliance. And people will comply when they know they have to. But at best, they're going to do exactly what they're told to do and not one bit more. At worst, they'll find a way to sabotage the process entirely. And that might be consciously or unconsciously as well. Now, there's a big difference between compliance and when there's buy-in. And that buy-in is based on the influencer understanding how those on their team feel that they benefit. And you know, when there is that buy-in, there is commitment. And as my great friend Dondi Scumaci, who I believe you know, Dondi, and she's a great speaker on leadership and influence, and she says, and I so love this, she says, compliance will never take you where commitment can go.
Wow, that's big. That's writer downer.
yeah.
Boy, that's good.
And yeah, I learned so much from her. See, I'm lucky. Yep. I get to learn from all you guys. I've got, you know, people like yourself and Dondi and so many people I get to learn from and have as mentors. So I get kind of fortunate.
And I know that she's speaking at your event, and not that I'll keep going back there, but, you know, when I saw her and Larry Winget and Dixie, I mean, man, all-star lineup. So – So, Bob, let's get down. I'm so bummed. Let's get down to some specifics. So, how does one actually influence, or maybe that's kind of a weird word. So, how does one persuade someone who might actually oppose their ideas?
Yeah, and that, you know, we know that. Well, that's something that will happen often. And I think the first thing is, as the great Zig Ziglar teaches, is we've got to respond instead of react, sort of like yielding before entering the heavy traffic rather than just jumping in blindly. We need to make sure we're in control of ourselves and our emotions. The sages of old asked, who is the mighty person? And their answer was, that person who can control their own emotions. Because until you can do that, you're really in no position to be able to first, handle yourself, never mind be able to persuade someone else to move to a different idea. So the first thing is we need to respond instead of react. Secondly, we need to make sure we understand the other person's motivation. Dale Carnegie, in his great book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, what was it he said? People do things for their reasons, not our reasons. And I think that's so vitally important to understand. So let's ask the questions. Why do they oppose your ideas? In what way, Jim, do they feel that your ideas will not benefit them? And it's so important to discover this, because without that key element of understanding, you simply cannot know what they are thinking. See, we think we can read people's minds, but we can't.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, Bob has more incredible words of wisdom to share with you. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
There are two types of small business owners. Those who are already profiting from the power of social media, building stronger, more powerful relationships with their customers and prospects. And those who are still sitting on the sidelines, wondering if it will work for them too. If you're still sitting on the sidelines, then No Hassle Social Media is for you. Finally, there's a fast and easy done-for-you way to use social media marketing to connect with more customers and prospects, accelerating the know, like, and trust factor, all with no experience necessary. No Hassle Social Media not only shows you exactly what to do, it provides you with a ton of great content that you can use to promote your business and build stronger relationships with clients and potential clients. You get blog posts, Twitter tweets, Facebook posts, LinkedIn updates, and even video scripts. Get started profiting from social media today at www.nohasslesocialmedia.com. That's www.nohasslesocialmedia.com.
And we're back. Let's get right back to our great interview with Mr. Bob Berg.
You simply cannot know what they are thinking. See, we think we can read people's minds, but we can't. The understanding's not going to be there, but here's what will happen. Instead, we'll see their resistance only from our point of view. That's where mind reading comes in. Because we all got to fake that everybody looks at the world the same way we do, and they don't. So what we need to do is we need to understand that we don't know what they're thinking, and we've got to find this out. And if we don't, then we're not going to advance the process. Now, as part of this, we need to listen, and I mean really listen, and even empathize with what and how they're feeling. And again, bringing up what you said earlier about touchy-feely and new agey and stuff, there's nothing touchy-feely about this. More often than not, people really don't need to agree with you 100% in order to buy into your idea and willingly follow you if you're in a leadership position. But they do need to feel understood. They need to feel acknowledged. And this is where we talk about empathy, because empathy, the general definition of empathy is sort of thought it's being able to identify with the feelings of another person. And when you can do that, that's great, and to be able to communicate that you understand their feelings. But here's the challenge in the real world. We often don't understand their feelings. And when we're not going to understand their feelings because we come at life from a whole different viewpoint, or we don't have that experience and so forth. But so here's what I think really empathy is. I don't think empathy is necessarily communicating that you understand exactly how they feel, because the truth is you might not understand exactly how they feel. I think empathy is effectively communicating to that person that you understand they are feeling something. and that that something is distressful to them, and that you're there with them to work through it. So when you communicate empathy correctly, it simply means that person understands that you understand that there's something there that needs to be worked on. And when they feel acknowledged, I think then they understand that it's not two people going against each other, it's two people who really want a winning outcome.
Right.
And then I'd finish up with this. I'd say there's one more thing, and that's to know. And we talk about this near the end of the book with Ben, the protagonist, when he was asked, you know, what do you really have to – and Aunt Elle, you know, who was always challenging him to, mm-hmm. to define what he was really doing. She, you know, you've really got to know what you have to offer that person that will benefit them. So I think
right.
when we go through that process, that's the principle of how to persuade.
You're right. And you know, it makes me think of in The Go-Giver, I believe it's law number 3, the law of influence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe it says, and I'll paraphrase, you'll certainly correct me, but influence is determined about, you know, how much you put other people's interests first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, you know, I think of people, I always try and think of people listening to these CDs and whatnot. Okay, well, that sounds good in theory, but how can I really go out
right.
and use that strategy, you know, specifically? Can you maybe talk about an actual application?
Oh, sure. Well, and again, we need to clarify, and you bring up a great point, because people who let's say have not heard that before will wonder, well, gosh, what, you know, what does that really mean? So it seems sort of counterproductive at best and downright Pollyanna-ish. At worst, put other people's interests first, and really, again, because we are interested in ourselves, and we should be. It all goes to the focus of it. In the Go-Giver, where you quoted that law, Ben is taught by Sam, one of the very successful entrepreneurs, that there's a golden rule of sales, and whether you call sales or business or networking, what have you, and it goes like this. All things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And I think we all sort of, you know, basically agree with that premise. Well,
right.
See, there's no faster, there's no quicker, there's no more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others than by temporarily suspending your self-interest, not foregoing it, please. This is not, you know, no, not foregoing it. Suspending your self-interest and really from the gut, from the heart, asking yourself, how can I focus on providing value to this person? And to the degree you're able to do that, you're going to find the response you get from others is going to be so terrific. You're going to be planting seeds of goodwill, great will all over. You're going to be attracting other very successful people. Because let's face it, you know, and a lot of us, we network with each other online, in person, on the phone. We refer business to each other. Why? Because all of us who do this, we all realize that we are putting the other person's interest first. You don't refer someone and say, okay, what am I going to get out of it? No, you're referring to people who you genuinely feel can provide value to each other. But let's face it, when you do that, both people feel great about Jim Palmer. And that's really how it works.
Yeah.
So there's no, again, there's no dichotomy in the two. By putting other people's interests first, you are also taking care of yourself. And there's no, and I don't mean that in an esoteric, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but in an esoteric kind of karma-ish way, it simply makes a lot of sense. It's very practical.
You know, a big theme in the book is also trust, which, you know, we've been hitting on. And I think nobody's going to disagree that trust is very important. What really is trust? How do you define that in a business relationship?
Sure. Well, you know, a dictionary definition of trust is that it's the assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. And, you know, we could get into all four of those, but just looking at the first couple, character and ability, or we could say character and competence. And it reminds me of my friend Stephen M.R. Covey, Dr. Stephen Covey's son from Seven Habits. But Stephen M.R. Covey wrote a book called The Speed of Trust, which I've been quoting from for years. I think it's such a wonderful book. He just actually came out with a new one that I interviewed him on and posted about it a while ago. His new book is called Smart Trust, and it's terrific. But in both books, he talks about the two aspects of trust that are so important, and that is character and competence. Because and it really takes both in order to do business with someone when it's anything of substance. I mean, if you feel somebody has a lot of character, a very high character, but they're not competent at what they're doing, the chances are you're not going to do business with them. If on the other hand you feel they have a high degree of competence, I mean they really know what they're doing, but at the same time they don't have a lot of character, well, you know, you're probably also not going to do business with that person. So, you know, I think there's a lot that goes into character, and I think most of us know that what makes up our character isn't so much what we say. I mean, and by the way, it's not that what you say isn't important. It is. But that's just not where the source of your power lies. I think that what you have to give, I think you offer least of all through what you say, in greater part through what you do, but perhaps in greatest part through who you are. And that's where character really comes into play. See, character comes from an old Greek word for scrape or scratch. In time, it came to mean an engraved mark and eventually a defining quality. John and I say in the last book, It's Not About You, when we're talking about character, Aunt Elle says that you know, it can be said that character is what happens when life scratches itself onto your soul. But you know, I'm a simple guy, and that's why it's great writing with John, because he has such a way with words. But I don't have that way with words. But you know, I just like a defining quality, or perhaps the sum total of all your qualities makes up your defining quality, right? But you know, I think, Jim, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but when you really understand someone's character, their defining quality, if you will, you can basically know what their decisions are going to be. And, you know, not the everyday minutiae type decisions, but the big decisions, you know what they're going to be. Why? Because you know where they stand. Because people with character stand for something. They stand for something. So, you know, competence and character, both important. But character is simply the base. Competence, rather, is the baseline. It's that thing that puts you into the game, whether you're a one-person show, a medium-sized business owner, or climbing the corporate ladder. Marshall Goldsmith, who I believe you know, he wrote that great book. He's written several great books, but one of them is What Got You Here Won't Get You There. He coaches many of the Fortune 500 CEOs as well as other members of the C-suite, and he writes in his book that as they get up the ladder, the competence is pretty equal. I mean, you've got to be talented just to get up the ladder, you know, to where they are. But what separates them, what separates the talented people from the ones that just, you know, blow the roof off it and are known as the great leaders and the top, it's character. It's that thing inside them. So, you know, competence matters, but really it's kind of a dime a dozen. Character, though, character is that, I guess, that rare, precious gem, and anyone who possesses it is worth a great deal to the world around them, and that's why they make a lot more money. It's sort of a matter, it's just basic economics. It's supply and demand. You've got something such as competence, which is in demand, but there's also great supply, even though we like to kind of say, what's wrong with the world? You know, nobody knows what they're doing. A lot of people know what they're doing. But character, that's different. See, there's a huge demand for it, but right now it's not in as great supply. Yeah, and for those who you know, want to connect with me, I'm at www.burg.com.
Love that. Bob, thank you so much, man. It's been, as usual, a fast-moving, very informative hour, and you're a good friend. I appreciate your time today, and the best with your conference, man. I'm sorry I'm going to miss Larry, Colleen, Sally, Mark, man. That whole lineup really is amazing. It's also a testament to the relationships that you have, so.
Well, thank you. We're going to miss you, too. I really thank you for having me on. You've been such a great friend. And, you know, when we had that contest last year, you're the one that came up with the idea. So people who are your clients just have a great thing going for them. So I congratulate them for being in your organization.
Well, I appreciate that.
I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend, Mr. Bob Berg. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and never, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.